Romans in the 8th chapter. Romans in the 8th chapter. And I have struggled with this a little bit this week. The last few weeks, I have preached more to the church and as far as how we should live our lives. And I believe living your life is important. I believe we need instructions on how to get through life because life is hard. Life's a precarious, rough place to try to go through. But I guess my message this morning is more doctrinal related. But I'm going to say this morning that us as the Lord's church, us as Baptist people, we need doctrine. We need to know and understand why we believe what we believe, because people are going to ask us, why do you believe what you believe? And I want people to know why they are a Baptist. I want to know why I'm a Baptist. If I didn't know why I was a Baptist, I'd be searching it out. But I'm glad this morning to be a child of God first. I'm glad to be a member of the Lord's church. And I'm glad that the Lord's church is the Baptist church. And I'm glad to be a member of that this morning. Our thought this morning will come from Romans in the 8th chapter. Start our reading in the 32nd verse. And it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Our thought this morning is, once saved, always saved. As an old-time missionary Baptist, I believe in the doctrine of the security of the saints. I do. I believe that once a person has been saved by the grace of God, it is a salvation that lasts from that point on through all of eternity. There are people today that believe you can lose your salvation. I'm not one of them. Now, as Baptists, as missionary Baptists in particular, we hear a lot of people say, "Oh, you're one of those." And I get that a lot. "Oh, you're one of those. You believe you can get saved and live however you want to, and you'll go to heaven." Well, I've heard people all of my life say that people in the Baptist church have preached that. And guess what? I've been alive 23 years, been saved for almost 12 of those, and I've never heard an old-time Baptist preacher ever preach that you can live any way you wanted to. Never heard it. I've heard people preach about getting saved, and I've been saved by the grace of God. But the Bible doesn't say you can be saved and live however you want to and get to heaven. It says you will be saved by God's grace. Now, God's people sometimes choose to live however that they want to. But that doesn't mean that they have fallen from the grace of God. I don't believe in falling from grace. I don't believe there's any way that that is possible. But what I do believe is that people can backslide out of the Lord's churches. And I believe that people can lose the joy of their salvation, but they will not lose what God has sealed through all of eternity. There is no way. The Bible in Revelations, it talks about a book with seven seals. And it says, who is worthy to open the book? They couldn't find anybody worthy. But my scriptures teach me in Ephesians 1 and 13, it says, ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After that ye have been saved, ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And you tell me who's going to come and get that salvation. You tell me who is worthy enough to come and take that salvation from you. There is no, not one. Not one. Now I'll say this, God could. but He won't. God loves us. I preached last Sunday about the love of God, and I believe that God loves us. I'm going to say this morning that God is a just God. God is able to do what He wants to whenever He wants to, but He is a fair God. He is a just God. What He does is always justified. Every action that He takes, there's a reason behind it, and I believe that. And so people that believe that you can lose your salvation, you just ask them how many times that they've lost it, and I'll guarantee you they'll answer, "Well, I've never lost it, but I've heard of people that have." I'm going to say this morning, it would be a silly thought to believe the God that I have, as big as He is, would lose my salvation. You say, He would lose it. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him unto that last day." Do you know that God keeps your salvation? I'm going to say this morning that if I had to keep up with it, if you know me very well, I can't keep up with nothing. Not one thing. I would lose my head if it wasn't strapped on tight. But I'll say this morning that I'm thankful that God is the one that keeps my salvation, because I'd lose it. I would. Why, the night God saved my soul, before I got out the doors, I would have lost it. But guess what? Paul said, "I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him to keep unto that last day." So if God's in protection of it, is He going to lose it? Let's read over these verses that I've just read for you this morning. And I believe that Paul was talking to the church at Rome. I believe he had a message for them. I don't necessarily know what they were talking about, what was going on at the church of Rome at this time, and I don't know what their contention may have been, but I know Paul was trying to get a message to them. He was trying to let them know that God's not going to leave them. Now, I want to again say, you can lose the joy of your salvation, and it is easy to do. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." But notice he didn't say, "Save me again, Lord." He said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." I believe that's very possible to lose the joy. I've lost the joy of it, and it almost feels like you are in a desolate place alone. But guess what? God is still keeping you in the palm of His hand. I believe that what God does, He does forever. What God does is perfect. What I do is not, but what God does, it will last. The things that you and I make, they're not meant to last. But what God makes, it will last forever. It says He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's the kind of God that I serve this morning. But Paul said in the Roman letter, he said, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" He gave His only Son, so how shall He not give us all things? And I believe he's talking about Jesus dying on the cross and giving us salvation. Salvation from God is a gift. God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give it to you and take it back. You and I might be that way sometimes. Well, you know how Christmas is. We'll do those little secret Santa things, and you'll buy a $25 present. It'll get in the pool, and it'll go around, and boy, you really liked what you bought, so you're going to get it back. And then if you play it right, sometimes people can steal it. But I'm going to say this morning that salvation is not a secret Santa game. Once you get it, you've got it forever. There's no one, two, three, four times that you can lose it. Once you get it, you have got it. And I'm going to say this, once we get it, we better do something with it. I made a statement in Wednesday night Bible study just a few weeks ago, and I said, salvation, we put it in a box, wrap it up tight, and say, well, we might break it if we do anything with it. I believe salvation should be taken out of its box and played with a little bit. I believe we ought to use this salvation that God has given us. It's not going to break. Because if it had broke, I'd have broken it a long time ago. I've got things before, bought them, taken them out of the box, And before I knew what was going on good, it was already messed up, broke. I bought that new car last year. I had driven over to see my sister, and a rock flew off of a truck, hit it square in the hood, didn't have 3,000 miles on it, had a big dent in the hood. And I thought, you can't have nothing without it getting hurt or broken or something like that. My salvation may be. It may have taken a few bumps and dings every now and then, but guess what? It is still kept by God. It is still perfectly sealed up the same way that it was the night that He saved my soul. And it ain't never gone nowhere. Oh, it's filled up a few times. That cup that I've got, and I hear people say all the time, oh, it's like a cup that gets filled up and sometimes it bubbles over. Sometimes my soul gets a little filled up and it bubbles over. Oh, but it's sweet. Oh, salvation is the sweetest thing that there ever has been. Oh, and I'm going to get to some verses here before long. And I'm going to try to refute this morning the verses of Scripture that people use to teach that you can lose your salvation. I'm going to say this morning, I can take this book and I can make you believe just about anything if I take one verse out of context. But we've got to take verse by verse by verse and say, this is what God has said, and what God has said we must stand on. The Bible's true. God's Word is true. And I believe, and I've said this before, I believe the Bible harmonizes from cover to cover. And I believe the theme through it all is that God saves to the uttermost. Over in the book of Hebrews, He says He saves to the uttermost. There is a doctrine out there today that people teach you get saved in increments. My Bible don't teach that. It says He saves to the uttermost. It says He seals it. How are you going to get something else in something if it has been sealed? Once God does it, it's enough. People have searched and searched, and are still looking for salvation if when they've got it. I heard people say when I was lost, they saw bright lights and this, that, and the other, and maybe you did. I'm not disputing that. But you want to know what salvation is at its very lowest form? It is peace with God. If you've got that, and you know you've got it, and you be very sure that you have it, you better know that you know that you know that you know that you've been saved. Salvation is the most important thing that has ever happened to anybody in this world. You might be the richest person ever has been, but your money won't take you to heaven. But salvation will. And guess what? You can lose everything you've got, but you can't lose the salvation of your soul. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall peril or distress, or persecution or famine, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And this is where it gets beautiful. It says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It says, for I am persuaded. Paul's getting persuaded again. He was persuaded that God was able to keep that which was committed unto him under the last days. And here he is getting persuaded again. And he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If that does not make my argument, I don't know what else will. That covers everything. It covers it all. What can separate us from the love of God? Not one thing. That covers the gamut on everything. And it even goes on to say, nor things present, nothing happening right now, or nothing that can come. When God saves your soul, He saves you in that moment. And guess what? He saves you in that moment, and you are saved forever. He knows what you are when He saves you. He knew I was a sinner when He saved me. And you knew I would still be a sinner for the rest of my life. I was shapen in iniquity. I was born in sin. He knew we were sinners, and He saves us. Ephesians 1:13 seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's sealed up there. It says, nor things present, nor things to come. How many of you believe that God knows what's to come? He already does. He already knew just exactly what would be before us. He knew more about me than I knew about myself. He knew I'd be a sinner. Now, I want to say this, and maybe this is where they get the whole, well, Baptists believe you can live like the devil and go to heaven. When God saves a soul, He expects us to work. Now, you don't have to. You don't. You don't have to at all. But I'm going to say this, there are some pretty hefty consequences to pay if you don't. You can live like the devil. You can do whatever you want to do and get away with it for a little while. But I'm going to say this, God will catch up with you and He will get you. He will make you wish that you hadn't done the things that you'd been doing. But guess what? We're still kept by His love. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever... I'm going to knock something else in the head right here. Those that believe there's only a certain group of people that can be saved, the Bible says, whosoever will. I don't know how much plainer it can be. It says, whosoever will. There's not an elect group. The Lord came to save everybody. He will draw all men unto Him. I don't know how much plainer that it has to be. If you're a hard shell Baptist and you believe that, bless your heart. Because it's going to exclude a whole lot of people. But guess what? It's a whosoever will salvation. That whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall have everlasting life. I don't know how much clearer everlasting can be. Do you know what everlasting's like? It means everlasting. It means forever. You mean God is going to make us a promise and then not keep it? God has kept every single one of His promises. You read over in the book of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith. Boy, there were a whole lot of people that never saw their promises fulfilled. But guess what? God kept the promise. And God keeps His promise to us. I told you about the verse, Ephesians 1:13. I told you I'm going to come back to it. Ephesians 1:13, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's a promise that God will keep forever and ever and ever. Who's going to separate us? Nobody can. There's not enough devils in all of the hell to come and get me from God. Brothers and sisters, if that don't make us happy this morning, I don't know what will. There's not enough things in this world to get me into hell. Because of what the Lord done for me when I was a little boy that sought the Lord. I'm glad of that this morning. I want to turn over to the book of Galatians. And in order for me to refute something, I've got to enter something else before I get there. And I'm going to get to Hebrews, so don't worry about it. We're going to get there. And I'm going to try to clarify that with the Lord's help. Because I don't want anybody to leave here today and say, well, the preacher didn't even hit the verses that people used to say that you can lose your salvation. Because I'm going to say something. If you read verses by themselves, if you just pick a verse, boy, you might think that you could lose your salvation. You might think that. That's not what the Bible teaches when you read it in context. And I'm going to say, read the Bible in its context, and it will all come together. Paul told them at the church of Galatia, and I have spent a whole lot more time on Romans than I thought I was. But Galatians in the 5th chapter, the first verse says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm going to say this, when God saves you, there's some scripture that says, go and sin no more. Now God knows we're going to sin. But He says you strive to not sin. Try to do your best to make sure that you don't. But if you do, I still love you. Parents, I'm not a parent. But I've been a child, and I know what it's like to do things you ought not do. And boy, your parents have told you repeatedly, don't you do that, because if you do, you'll get in trouble. And boy, I'd run off and do it, and I'd get in trouble. Did that mean they stopped loving me? Did that mean I wasn't their child? No, it just meant they wanted to correct me so that I wouldn't make the same mistake twice. Boy, I tell you what, it's a hard thing to try to believe in, losing your salvation. I wouldn't want to be one of them. And I heard someone say the other day, and it gripes me to no end when people say this, well, we probably should teach that you can lose your salvation so we would scare people into staying in the church. If God doesn't convince you to be His child and to work for Him, you may want to check what you've got. You may want to look back and see if you've really been saved. I believe some people have been confused and being convinced with their mind and not with their heart. Oh, and maybe they thought, well, maybe I don't have it. You need to make sure. You need to know. If God can't convince you to serve Him, you need to get saved. I'll put it that way. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Well, there it is. It must be true. Read that one verse, and I guess you can stand and create a whole denomination of people that believe it. Take one verse and believe, and leave the whole rest of the Bible out. Take that one verse. But that's not what Paul was saying. Apparently, the church at Galatia had begun, or maybe the Jews that were there, begun to teach again that you've got to be circumcised. You've got to follow the law that had been done away with, the ceremonial law that was taken away with. But you've still got to do that to be saved. But you know what salvation is? I read it last week. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You know what salvation is based upon? It's based upon grace. It is God's gift, unmerited favor, something you don't deserve, that God gives you. And the church at Galatia was trying to work their way into getting saved. Knocks out of work salvation, doesn't it? You can't work your way in because there's nobody worthy to go to heaven. The Bible says, is there any good? No, not one. Not one good enough to go to heaven without the saving grace of Christ Jesus. So what was Paul saying to them to say, ye are fallen from grace? He says you have fallen away from teaching about grace. You've left out the most important part. You've left it out. And bless your heart. It says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It had gotten in, and they were trying to teach that you could have to work your way into being saved. So I want to refute very quickly this fallen from grace nonsense. Paul was saying, no, no, no. You need to be saved by grace. The law of the circumcision will profit you nothing if you have not been saved by grace. If you've not been saved by grace, it profits nobody, not one thing. It says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? It says, it's not of Christ that calleth you. It says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of this will leaven the whole lump. A little bit of this will make the whole thing spoiled. I'm glad this morning that what God does, He does by grace. I'm glad that it is an unmerited favor that you and I do not deserve by anything. You and I don't deserve it. I want to turn over now to the book of Hebrews. And maybe you've been waiting on this the whole time. Boy, people get in this. And I had a friend of mine tell me one time that this was the verses that taught that if you were lost or if you had been saved, that you could fall from grace and that you'd have to repent to get back in. Well, that's not what it says. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And I believe that Paul wrote this Hebrew letter. I believe there's some correlation or some parallels between the book of Hebrews and all of the other things that Paul wrote. If you get down in there, I believe there's a lot of parallels. The few verses before this in chapter 5, he was talking about getting off the milk and getting on strong meat. He said you've got to get off the little parts, the little bits of it, the part that gives you a little strength, but you've got to get on the meat of the Word and the doctrine. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get on the strong meat. I love a good glass of milk, but I like the meat of this world a lot better than just a glass of milk. My strength comes from the nourishment that I get. Our strength as old-time missionary Baptists, it comes from the Word of God and doctrines that God has for us. And the writer says this, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, go on unto maturity, as Brother Colin said this morning in Sunday school, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God will permit. We'll teach these things. We've got to know these things. Brothers and sisters, as old-time Baptists, we've got to know those things. We've got to understand that God has things about His church that we need to know. We've got to teach doctrine. Doctrine is vital to a church. But it says, and this is the part I want to get to, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. Who's it impossible? For those that have been enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted of the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come, it's impossible that if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. You can't repent of your sins to be saved after you have been saved. It is impossible. Now, I'll say this. You can repent for your sins, and God's people, we need to repent for our sins. We need to die daily in the things that we do. But guess what? It doesn't mean we get saved every day. There's one point that God saves your soul. And it says, and I believe very much so, that this is talking about those that fall away from God's church. I do. I don't believe it's talking about those that fall away from salvation. It is impossible to fall away from that. But it is possible to apostatize. Big word. It's possible to go against the teachings of the Lord's church. I've known many, and you've known many, that have gone against the grain of God's churches. They have said that they have been saved by the grace of God and have gone off into everything and anything under the sun. You've heard of them, and I've heard of them. You've known of them, and I've known of them. And it says it's impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. It says, seeing they crucify to themselves again, afresh, and put Him to an open shame. You know what falling away from God's church does? It puts His crucifixion, it puts His death an open shame. There's a lot of people this morning that don't believe in God. And we don't need any other people, especially those that have tasted, who have been enlightened of the love of God. We don't need any of those to fall away. It's easy to fall away. I've told you all this many times. When I was lost, and even after I got saved, I attended Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church, was a member there. I was in college. And I had been taught, and you know what, college institutions, I'm all for higher education. I believe people need to learn everything that they can learn. But I'm going to tell you, when you go into a place like that, you need to be on guard. Because the devil's teachings, the teachings of the world, they abound everywhere. And it's easy to begin to think, well, maybe there is something about this that's not right. Or maybe there is this. I took a New Testament class and that teacher didn't have a bit more clue about the Bible than I could get up and fly through this church. He taught it on a worldly aspect, and you cannot teach this book without the Holy Spirit of God. It is impossible to do that. And he didn't teach it that way. And the way he brought some things out, I would think, well, maybe he's right. I'd been taught, I had been rooted and grounded in the faith all of my life. And there would be many times I'd get up and we'd go to church on Sunday morning. I was working at the time. And I'd get in the car and I'd say, well, I don't guess I'm ever going back no more. Had about all of that I'm going to listen to. I'm saved. I was saved at that point. And I said I didn't want any more of it. You know where I'd be next Sunday? Sitting there again. I'm going to say this morning that those that fall away from God's church, those that have left God's church, those that are departing from God's church, they better check their salvation. They better check what they have. It's easy for the world to draw you out into everything. But it is impossible. It is impossible. And the Bible says, for with all things are possible with God. But this says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. It's not going to happen. You can't do that. Now I'm going to say what you do have to do. There is some repentance that's got to take place if you fall out of God's church, if you apostatize, if you go out into a different belief or things of that nature. You've got to repent to God. You've got to ask for His forgiveness. And I believe that. And I'm not talking about salvation and forgiveness. I'm talking about forgiveness of the things that we've done. We are sinners. I believe every one of us understands that this morning, that we are sinners. We'll be sinners until the day we die. Job said that we are born, or we are a few days and we're full of trouble. It don't take long for us to realize that we are sinners. I'm going to make this statement this morning, and I'm going to, if the Lord will help me, I'm going to make it a little proudly. I'm glad that God saves old sinners. I am. I'm really glad that He doesn't take the best. And He talks about when He came, He said, I came not to call the righteous unto repentance. You know why He said that? Because He knew they wouldn't. They thought that they were good enough on their own and didn't need God. But He says, I came to save that which was lost. Every single person that has been born, will be born, or is going to be born any time between now and the end of this life or this world is going to need to be saved. It's going to have to happen. But one day, God's going to come back, and I want you to turn with me to Ephesians, and I'm going to try to close in just a few moments of time if God will be our helper. We don't want to worry your patience this morning, but we want to get out what God would have for us to do. I have worried with this message all week. I have studied with it all week. I have gone through this Bible. I've prayed. I know why I'm an old-time missionary Baptist. One of our articles of faith says that we believe in the perseverance of the saints, or the security of the saints. We believe that when God saves a person, they're saved. They're saved. We believe that. As old-time Baptists, we believe that. And we need to know why we believe it. You know, I hear it all the time. It's very common today to go and say, well, you know, I've been baptized this many times, or I've done this many times. My Scripture says in Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. And I believe, and he didn't mess up, and he didn't leave anything out. But I'm going to add something to it, and you say, preacher, you shouldn't add nothing to the Bible. One salvation. I believe that. Us as Baptists, we believe that. But I want to read this to you about the sealing one more time. This is in Ephesians, in the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 17th verse says this, and I have just a few verses, so if you'll bear with me for just a moment. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the Spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth from his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not." That's a hard one. "Be angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use to edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And this is where I want to get to. I want to get about the ceiling one more time. I want to make sure you understand this morning that we are sealed. I want you to understand that this morning. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." We are sealed unto that day. Romans says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" And he lists off and he says, there's not one thing that can come and get us from God. Anybody that believes that you can lose your salvation is living a very sad, sad, sad state of mind. Because my Bible teaches me that God loves more than anything in this world. His love is a great love. And I'm thankful this morning that one night, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I'm glad that night that I knelt before God, He didn't look at me and say, "Oh, he's got a big bank account. Let's save him so he can work for the church." It didn't happen like that. I was a little boy, 11 years old. Little boy. Glad it's that way. He looked at me and He saw a sinner as a sinner. The Bible teaches that. "For we are all sinners. For we have all been, we are all lost and undone without God." And I'm convinced of that. The Scriptures teach that our righteousness, the best that we have, is as filthy rags. But He looked and He saw a little boy that was broken beyond anything. He saw that he was hurting. And boy, when he got his heart, that little boy, when he got his heart in that condition, we say a broken heart and a contrite spirit, or a crushed spirit. I'm going to say this morning, if you've not been crushed completely with everything that you have, and God has not drawn you, you've not been saved. The Bible says that He draws all men unto Him. God draws people to Him, and then He crushes their will. And when I pray through, and I'm going to say, there's not a prayer, there's not a uniform prayer. I get on the internet sometimes and I'll look up churches and they'll have prayers that you can pray, and if you've prayed that prayer, oh, you're saved. Mm-mm. No. It's not how it works. The prayer that needs to be prayed is the one from us. It needs to come from the innermost beings of your person. And when you pray that prayer, God will save your soul. And He will keep you. Read one more verse. I'm going to close. Bill Coleman may get on to me after I said what I said the other night. It says, "Who are kept," 1 Peter, first chapter, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." God keeps my salvation. I've committed it unto Him. Oh, and I'm so thankful. If nothing else ever happens to me in this world, what happened to me that night at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church will keep me through all eternity. It's not how good I've been, because I'll guarantee you, just like Paul, I'm the least. but I'm glad He saved me, and I'm glad He keeps me. Yes, yes, as Old Time Baptists, we believe, once you're saved, that ye are always saved. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't preach it. But I'm glad that it's in the Word of God for us to plainly see everlasting means to everlasting. May God bless you, is our prayer. While we stand, while we sing, if you're lost and undone without the Lord, if you've never been saved, you need to pray. You need to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. If you have been saved and you've lost the joy of it, it's good to pray too. It's good to get back where God wants us to be. We need to be in the middle of God's will. Amen. This altar is always open here at Mount Calvary for those that need prayer. If you're saved and you just have a burden for something, come pray this morning while we stand and while we sing.